Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Elaine, now you had another date in mind.
According to my source, the end of the world will be on February 14th in the year 2016.
Valentine's Day. Bummer. Where'd you get your date, Elaine?
I received this information from an alien. As I told my husband, it was in the Paramus Holiday Inn. I was having a drink at the bar, alone, and this alien approached me. He started talking to me. He bought me a drink, and then I think he must have used some kind of a ray or a mind control device because he forced me to follow him to his room. And that's where he told me about the end of the world.
So your alien had a room at the Holiday Inn, Paramus.
It might have been a room on the spacecraft made up to look like a room at the Holiday Inn. I can't be sure about that, Peter.
Of course not. And that is the whole problem with aliens, is you just can't trust them. Occasionally you meet a nice one, Starman, E.T., but usually they turn out to be some kind of big lizard. That's all the time we've got for this week on World of the Psychic. Next week, though, Kimmy Ira. Hairless pets. Weird. Until then, this is Peter Venkman saying. See you then.
This is the Neverland Podcast, episode 115. Happy Valentine's Day!
I love you.
I know.
And, of course, now, welcome to the Neverland Podcast. I hope you got your pixie in your pocket, because you need to take her out of the pocket and sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Get your happiest thought, because you should have a happy thought unless you're alone on Valentine's Day, then maybe you don't have one. But we'll give you a happy thought anyway, won't we?
Yes.
Yes, because that's what we're here for about. I, of course, am your host, the Spider-Pan, Jeremy, and, of course, with me is...
Heather, the Wendy Nerd.
Yes, because it's Valentine's Day, so I should bring my wife with me, right?
Yes.
And she's good at them one-word answers.
Yes.
Well, that's what happens when you marry an introvert.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I've been doing fine, you know, with you, so, you know, I have enough energy for both of us.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, so we were mismatched as a way, look, a mismatched pair, it seems, at least. For anyone who wouldn't maybe
it's like
know
the
us
odd
that well.
Couple.
Yeah, we're a bit of an odd couple. And I thought for a fun Valentine's Day, well, I thought it would be fun to kind of tell our story because it's kind of, would make a pretty good Disney movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of tell our story. I have at least one story that I got from at least one listener. Didn't get a whole lot of feedback on that one. We're also going to take a listen to some very nice Disney classic movie love songs.
Love songs.
And even though some of these might be a little bit more recent, they're still pretty classic to me.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to go through and listen
to some
of
those. I'm not sure what all you have planned, but I agree. Yes.
Oh, but yes. We will have plenty of fun. Okay. So we're going to just listen to some music and kind of celebrate Valentine's Day. But, you know, before we go and celebrate Valentine's Day, it's time to spend a little moment in the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that sugar. Come here.
Get him, Mama. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Master Wayne. Thermal imaging is showing me 24 hostiles on the third floor. Why don't I drop you off on the second?
Even you got too old to die young. Not for lack of trying.
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race. If we believe there's even a 1% chance that he is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty.
The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world. God versus man. Day versus night.
You're psychotic.
That is a three-syllable word for any thought too big for little minds.
I know a few women like you.
Oh, I don't think you've ever known a woman like me.
Can be innocent.
Okay, so what you just heard was the final trailer for Batman versus Superman, and yes, I know there wasn't a whole lot of dialogue at one point. This was an action trailer.
Action, action, action.
Yes. I guess they've spent enough time telling you what the story is that they figure, look, we're going to have a lot of action in this. This is a superhero movie after all, I guess.
Although I got to say, I mean, other than, the slight built, you know, explanation of why Batman and Superman might be fighting against each other, there's not much plot that they have revealed for this movie.
Well, what amount of plot do you need, I guess, if you know it's Batman fighting Superman and Lex Luthor is going to create some weird version of Doomsday. And Wonder Woman will show up.
Yeah, I mean, like, it seems there's still a lot of, for me anyway, a lot, too much mystery about it, and it almost seems like we're just here just for action, and that's, like, all you really need to know.
Well, if we learned anything from Man of Steel, it's, look, it's Superman, and we're going to blow stuff up with Superman.
Which is kind of sad. I don't know. I feel like after seeing,
Did Michael Bay direct this?
So much stuff.
No, Zack Snyder, almost the same.
So much stuff with, like, Superman, I mean, that has been done in the past where there's story, like real story and real problems.
There's probably some story to this, too.
I don't know. I'm doubtful. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm still kind of doubtful, although I must say the opening sequence of this with Batman, and I liked having him working with Alfred, and Alfred saying, okay, we've got everybody on the third floor, I'm going to drop you in the second. You know, them working as a team and in that tandem.
I like that.
And even the fighting style that they have Batman doing is very reminiscent of what we've enjoyed in the Arkham games, where it's a very, very quick, frenetic, I'm going to hit this guy, roll over, move over here and hit this guy, and very fast, it was very, very cool. And then, of course, to lead it off with, like, I'm getting older. I'm not as fast as I was. After we've just seen the sequence of him just, hopping over here, slamming one guy into this wall, dropping this guy into a building, using the environment, which very cool. It's like, that's a very cool way to present Batman. That's very more comic area, strike hard, strike quick, because I'm just one guy.
Well, and I do like they have an older Batman. It seems like a lot of the Batman movies that have come out in recent decades, I guess I could include, or younger Batmans, the beginning of Batman, not so much Batman as he's getting older. So yeah. That's going to bring
Superman getting older because they've been around almost the same.
Well, time. But see, Superman's on a whole different like level. Like
he shouldn't age the Batman same way.
Is. Yeah, so there really shouldn't be that much difference between him now and him like decades, you know, earlier. But Batman should, and so I'm kind of excited for. I mean, that part for a more mature, you know. Older Batman.
Been around Batman.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the main reason they did that is because this was the dream of to make the Dark Knight, you know, 2, basically, from the old comic books, or the Dark Knight Returns, where basically there is a really good epic fight there between Superman and Batman, because Batman is older. He probably should have stopped, you know, and he has apparently retired for a while. He does make a return, and he does have a great fight where he's created some sort of super mechanical type of suit to fight with Superman, which, as we see in this trailer, he does, you know, we've gotten to see some pictures of Batman in it, but we get to see what it's capable of as near the end of it, Superman tries to punch him, and Batman's able to block it in this suit. And just the look on Superman's face of like, what the, like, wait, nobody can block my punch. That is pretty cool. So my jury is still out to say I'm not expecting much, but you know, going in with low expectations may help me actually to enjoy this because, I mean, it should be great because it is Batman versus Superman, but it's also Zack Snyder. And as far as trailers go, I guess this does its job because we already got an idea of what the vague idea of the story. We know it's Batman versus Superman, so this just a lot of frenetic action, bam, bam, pow. And I saw this in front of the Deadpool movie. Don't bother. Read my review on news.neverlandpodcast.com, which kind of fit with the style of how that movie was presented. So it looks like they were basically trying to get their everybody's attention who would go to Deadpool with this.
No, yep. It didn't show much more other than, like you said, at the beginning.
A lot of just action. But, you know, we already know enough of the story to where we're either interested or not, and this was just the fireworks to try to give you that last little bit of interest. So, we'll see what happens. This movie comes out here in March. Of course, that's also Zootopia is going to be out, and Zootopia has kind of got priority to me.
Yeah, I'm ready for Zootopia.
Yes, I am. Good. Yay, Zootopia!
To Disney and beyond.
Okay, now just to give a little bit of background to Valentine's Day, I meant to do a little bit more research on this before going in through, you know, talking about it because there was a lot more details that I could give. But the basic reason why we celebrate Valentine's Day is, of course, for Saint Valentine. And I don't remember exactly what period in history that this all had occurred. But I believe it was in Rome. I might be mistaken. But like the emperor had wanted his armies. He thought they were better fighters if they didn't have somebody waiting for them at home. So he wanted his army, everybody, to be unmarried. So anybody, of course, who was going to conduct a wedding was going to be imprisoned. And Valentine was imprisoned. Because he was secretly conducting weddings of the soldiers because they wanted to get married. And how we got the concept of your Valentine is he had a fiance while he was in prison, and he wrote letters to her and always signed them, of course, your Valentine. And so he is basically now celebrated as a Catholic saint, and so that's why we have Valentine's Day. It's really a celebration of marriage. So those of you that are married, you should celebrate this day. Those of you that are not, I hope you are one day and you are very happy. But it's difficult getting to this point because it took us a while, didn't it?
It did.
It's not all wine and roses getting here because when I first had met you, I was, you know, involved with somebody, and that's actually, I think, why I was hanging
around. That's
how
we started talking, was because it was someone we both knew.
Yeah, someone we both knew because you had graduated from Kearney High School, where my girlfriend at the time had been attending. Although my relationship with this girl was slowly fading out, you know, it wasn't going to last. That was a pretty sure thing. And a lot of it had to do with another friend of mine who was trying to come in between us and wreck it, which I found out later, because she was trying to be able to get my attention, which I'm sorry, it wasn't going to work for her that way. But yeah,
the days of our lives.
Yes, it got very, very complicated. So yes, love can be a very splintered and complicated thing. And I think we need a song to, golly, I don't know that I have a song that's any more complicated to say how messy these things can be. But well, golly, one song I would think about to use would be for something later. So you know what? While we're single and we're trying to figure the whole thing out, I'd say we probably go around dreaming of that one true love's kiss. So I'd say the most appropriate song I can think of right now would be True Love's Kiss from Enchanted. Make sense?
Okay.
Sure. It works because we all look for it. And, you know, I think this song kind of works for that. So we'll just listen to that one now. How about that?
When you meet the someone who was meant for you, before two can become one, there's something you must do.
Do you pull each other's tails? Do you feed each other's seeds?
No, there is something sweeter everybody needs. I've been dreaming of a true love's kiss, and a prince I'm hoping comes with it. What brings ever after me so happy? And that's the reason we need lips so much, for lips are the only things that touch. So to spend a life of endless bliss, just find who you love through true love's kiss.
Go through in your single life and you're hoping to find that one person. And then, of course, we have, okay, I was playing in a band at the time, and you were attending Maple Woods. I had actually...
I had just arrived. Like, you had been there because you're a little older, and I had just gotten there.
I actually was, at the time, not even attending classes. I just had friends there, and I would come occasionally on Wednesdays for special event things going on, because Wednesday was band practice, Wednesdays and Sundays and stuff. But there was a Wednesday, it was See You at the Pole that I remember first meeting you. Yep.
We actually both got there early.
And if you don't know what See You at the Pole is, Google it.
Yeah. We both actually were the first ones to get there, and nobody was actually standing at the pole.
Well, no, there were some other people I thought that were talking
not
to
at that
when
time.
I saw you walking up. I mean, they were still crowding in.
Because I asked you, like, is this where we needed to be? Because you were standing next to, like a picnic bench or outside the campus center, the student campus center. And so I was just kind of like, oh, you know, this is where we're supposed to be. And so from there, people did come in after that. But that was the first time I had met you. Mm-hmm. And I think just talking and probably you talking and me listening, we learned that someone that I was in class with you had
been dating. Yeah, at the time.
And she was a grade younger than me. And so
she was still in high school.
Yeah, she was still in high school, but I had just graduated. And so I came to campus looking to become more involved in some clubs and things like that. And so there's a Baptist Student Union that I had heard about. And so we decided to go. You know, I went to a meeting, and then that's where I met Jeremy.
Actually, you met me at Seat at the Pole, but we did have a meeting that day.
Yeah, and things like that. But that's, you know, that's where it kind of started.
Yeah, that's at least where we met. And because I remember I did ride with you and Jamie to lunch at Taco Bell, because I was talking to, because your friend Jamie was talkative. And I remember the whole time, you know, because I was, oh, okay, they both from Kearney. That's kind of neat. So I was talking to you too. And she basically was, she had just had some sort of relational kind of thing or whatever and was just talking about that the whole time. And then I remember when we dropped Jamie back off at her car or something like that, I just moved up to sit in the front seat and talk to you. And I says, well, we know all about Jamie's love life. How about yours? And you didn't have much to say.
I'm still very quiet, was still very quiet, will probably always be very quiet. But if you tell my students that, they probably would be shocked. But, you know. Anyway.
But it was almost like we had met before, like once upon a dream, right?
Yeah, actually, I was very comfortable talking with you, and it was just kind of like, you know, this is kind of like my, you know, my brother or something. Not really a brother, because I've never had a brother, but it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Okay, but I was obviously giving a song cue. So let's listen to Once Upon a Dream. Okay, so that's how we met. She's giving me that weird honorary look. I throw song cues at her, and she's like, yeah, it's very good conversational. I'm trying to find songs that fit.
Well, I'm also trying to give my side of the story, too.
Oh, yes, and I'm glad, yes, because she's normally very quiet. It's fun when she talks and shares, isn't it? Great? Okay. Well, now, see, I will a little inside information on me. I guess I've always been attracted to, like, three things: blue eyes, redheads, and tall brunettes. And look, a tall brunette. Yay!
Hair and no green eyes. Just brunette.
I didn't say green eyes. I said blue eyes.
Oh, blue eyes. Well, I don't have blue eyes.
Yes, don't have blue eyes. But you're a tall brunette.
Okay.
She's taller than me, folks. So I got to, you know, interact with you a few times. Now, I remember... all right, so the girl that had went to Kearney, I had broken up with, and I had rebounded with this little blonde girl... At a party of the same friend who was actually trying to split Amber and I up, really. But, okay, so when you rebound, you date people stupidly. I don't even remember this girl's last name. I just remember her first name. But she had this weird, like, vampire thing going on. And so I would show up to visit with the Baptist Student Union. We'd all go to lunch. And she was leaving, we'll just say, hickeys and stuff on my neck.
Well, I remember sitting in Burger King.
And I was
King
getting there like, oh, geez, I don't hide this.
I remember sitting in Burger King, and you were talking about this girl, and you're like, I'm just not sure about this girl. And, like, you had, you know, were talking about your hickeys, and there was some fingernail polish or something like that involved.
Yeah, oh, she liked to paint my pinky.
With it, and so you were just, like, not really sure, and, you know. So,
it was a
rebound. I remember all that, and I, for my part, as far as, like, he, you know, he has told his attraction, but... Like, I thought, you know, it was just kind of cool that he had a band, you know, and I'm so...
That's why we get into bands, isn't it, fellas?
but I thought that the way that, you know, when you got together and, you know, you prayed for people and, you know, and it was just a way that most people that, you know, you would condemn all these people are bad, you know, like a lot of people would want to do. You're like, no, let's just pray for these people and... and that was just kind of like, that's a different way to think about it. And I really like that. So,
yeah. But we also run about this time, I think, well, Court, you were dating Jason Bucklinger, which we won't even get into that one.
Why do you drop a name then?
Oh, well, he's not going to listen to the show, I don't think.
You're putting it out in the public. Anybody can hear it.
But yeah, and that didn't work out so good. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's just.
I wasn't going to let Jason do
it.
While
we were friends, like in this friend stage, we've seen each other date.
All kinds of stuff.
And have mistakes and we, you know, talk to each other a little bit about, you know, the, you know, I don't know about this guy and, you know, and things like that. So, you know, there was that in the friendship phase.
Yeah. You know, we had whales of tales, a whale of a tailor too, wouldn't you say?
I guess that's another song cue.
Yes, it is.
He's so cheesy.
Okay. Now I remember at some point, I had just, you know, I started reading, for those of you who are, you know, Bible readers, you read about Paul in there, and he's basically enjoying his singleness, and he can do a lot more as a single person. I started thinking, you know, I'm so frustrated with trying to deal with a love life that I was thinking, maybe I just need to be single. So I remember I had just decided, you know what, I just give up. I'm just not even going to bother and try. But I started getting to hang around with you a lot more.
Yeah, they're,
was this before?
And especially over, like, the summer, my church was gonna have a, like, yeah, kind of like a,
I was gonna do the single thing after this, but I don't know, yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
I don't know, maybe not. I can't remember the sequence of things now.
Okay, well, okay, so we had that first year of school was kind of the friends, and we had, like, you had the weird, you know, girlfriend, and I had the weird boyfriend, and that kind of thing like that. But then over the summer, they had, the Baptist group would get together for some things, and so we hung out, and I brought my cousin along, and he kind of liked my friend, and so we were kind of just, you know, hanging out together, you know, afterwards and talking, and that kind of developed into when school started up again. Well, it was before school started up when my church had, like, the
I think it was the summer. It was they were doing a music festival type of thing weekend, yeah. And so my band was going to come and play. Now, I had already thought, because I kind of liked her. I thought, you know, she's pretty cool. I'd like to be able to get to know her. So I was like, well, maybe we can date a bit, and we'll just see if I can get her to talk more, because she was kind of quiet still. So I thought, oh, she's
that was in September nice.
So I had planned. I was like, well, you know, maybe I should try to ask her out while we're at this thing. Now, okay, for those of you who are not familiar with me or what, okay, so I'm playing in a rock band. I'm very, you know, I had my long hair, I think, at the time, probably, you know, very, very different sort.
Longer hair.
Longer than it is now. It's fairly lengthy. Yeah. So it was a definite, almost a bit of a culture shock. I hadn't seen you just being comfortable, you know, because I think you showed up wearing overalls and whatever.
I didn't wear overalls.
Country girl thing going on. I was like, golly, we don't seem like we'd be a very good match. So I was thinking, maybe that's not such a great idea. I was kind of like, oh, gee, I don't know. Plus, I know you were all into the TY or tie Beanie Babies, and I wasn't. That was one of the things I didn't understand, but maybe it's because I'm a guy. I don't know. But, yeah, I know you were big into that at the time, too.
Well, and then you asked for, what was it, at the end of everything, because we all got rained out the second day.
Yeah, and so we didn't actually get to play, and I never got around to actually even asking you out. But
well, you asked if I could go bowling, like, you know, like we wanted to get together, but something was going on, and I couldn't.
Well, I didn't actually ask you out at all at that time and everything.
It wasn't like a date. It was like, hey, we're going to go hang out somewhere, and I was like, well, I can't.
Oh, well, like after the rain out, yeah, we were all going to go. But that was just, you know, getting a hangout thing, and so.
That was not a date.
Yeah. We were just going to go hang out. So that didn't quite work on there. But you know what? It's time to have another song. So you know what? Because we were that different, I'd say let's listen to Beauty and the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. How's that? Because we were that different in a way, right? Sure. You were the Beauty and I was definitely the Beast. Of course, if anyone else calls you Beast, I'll rip their lungs out.
Okay.
As old as time, true as it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change, small to say the least, both a little scared, neither one prepared. Beauty and the Beast, ever just the same, ever a surprise, ever as before, ever just as sure as the sun will rise. As old as time, tune as old as song, bitter, sweet, and strange,
strange. Finding you can change. Learning you were wrong. Certain as the sun. Rising in the east. Tale as old as time. Song as old as rhyme. Beauty and the Beast. Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast. Off to the cupboard with you now, Chip. It's past your bedtime. Good night, love.
I gotta find ways to squeeze these songs in here, you know.
I guess.
So, okay, so I didn't end up actually asking you out, but I think I wrote a thing, wrote you,
you
like
emailed
a note, emailed
me.
You and tried
you
to ask you out.
You emailed me the first time you asked me out. You emailed me, and what preceded this
electronic
was,
age, you know,
was a lengthy conversation of how you always got the friend talk when you asked
yeah,
girls
boy,
out.
Yeah, did I ever.
So you that
because
so
I'm a nice
you,
guy, I get they get comfortable with me.
When,
a lot of my best friends for a long time were girls.
So when you asked me out, I thought, oh crap, because first of all, I hadn't seen you in that way. I thought this is my goofy little friend, you know, and I'm doing what I can to promote your band because you know I think that's really cool that you're in a band and I want to see you know like you succeed with all of that. But it hadn't even occurred to me to think of you in a boyfriend manner because at the time. I was looking for someone who is, you know, quiet like me, you know, taller, at least to date someone that was taller than me, which never happened. And so anyway, like that, it wasn't even on my radar. So yes, I gave the friend speech and I hated every minute of it because I was like, I am so sorry. I know how you've gotten the friend speech from everybody else, but I'm giving you the friend speech.
Over email,
because that's how you asked me out. Yeah. So I was like, no, anyway, so,
yes.
But it was after I'd given you the friend speech and there was, I don't remember the kind of the order after that, but there at some point you bleached your hair.
Yeah. Oh, you're jumping way ahead of things, though.
No.
I mean, it's in a way, though.
No.
Because, well, usually I would make, I know I made alterations to myself usually after, like, a breakup or something, I know, because I pierced my ears a year after Amber. When did I think it was, might have been the post, I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah, at some point, though, I did cut my hair and I bleached it, but that's where you started looking at me different. But we had started to kind of hang out a little bit there before that, because, you know, I was like, okay, well, we're friends and I enjoy spending time with you. And
we were still friends after that, and everything.
We went to some coffee houses and everything,
yeah.
And I could talk to you and everything. And, you know, like, I also we had some, like, summer Baptist Student Union peoples or whatever meeting, like, a certain night of the week over the
mm-hmm.
summer
at
the church
night.
In North Kansas
yep.
City. And so, you know, we'd talk over there and hang around, and I'd play some different songs for you and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Because
you were still quiet at the time, but I was like, well, I'm going to talk to you as much as I can, and maybe you'll get a word mm-hmm. in edgewise.
Maybe. I'm doubtful.
Well, eventually you did. I had to kind of unlock you a little bit and, you know, get to where you would talk
I
more.
Still fight for a word in edgewise.
That was just funny.
Do I not? But anyway,
You know, I think it's time for another song, though, real quick before we go to the next part. Well, I want to play a lot of music. So, you know what? Just because it's fun, this is sort of a love song, but sort of not, but I just love this song. So, Hiss the Girl from Little Mermaid.
Percussion. Strings. Winds. Words. There you see her, sitting there across the way. She don't got a lot to say, but there's something about her. And you don't know why, but you're dying to try. You wanna kiss the girl. Yes, you want her. Look at her, you know you do. Possible she wants you to. There is one way to ask her. It don't take a word, not a single word. Go on and kiss the girl. Sing with me now. Sha la 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 la, bye oh bye. Look like the boy too shy. Ain't gonna kiss the girl. Sha la 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 la, ain't that sad? Ain't it a shame? Too bad. He gonna miss the girl. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, don't be scared. Got the moves prepared. Go on and kiss the girl. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, don't stop now. Don't try to hide it. How you wanna kiss the girl? Sha-la-la-la-la-la, float along and listen to the song. The song say kiss the girl. Sha-la-la-la-la, the music play. Do what the music say. You gotta kiss the girl.
You got to
kiss the girl.
Why don't you
wanna kiss the girl?
You
gotta kiss the girl. Go on and kiss the girl.
Well, we were a long way from kissing.
Yes, we were. But I want to play as many of these songs as we can.
I know.
It's a Disney podcast. Come on.
But it was about that time.
All right, so I've cut my hair. I've bleached it. I had went off to Florida with the drummer in my band. We went to Florida for a trip. Not to go to Orlando, unfortunately. We were in, I forgot where it was. And more of in the panhandle of Florida and everything. Some church revival thing that was affiliated with his church or something. So it was the first time I'd ever gone to Florida. I got to swim in the ocean. And I remember I've got a photo of me with the bleached hair from there. Now, oh. The funny thing is, when I'd cut my hair short like that, previously, I dyed it red at one point, but I had dyed it black while it was long. Mm-hmm. So when I'd cut it short and bleached it, you'd had where my natural hair had grown back that was kind of white, and then where the black was, it was kind of orange, so my head kind of looked like this flame, and it actually was kind of fun. You know, it was an unexpected
different.
So, so that's where I was. So I look like that, and that's where your story picks up, though.
Finally, so...
Well, no, I had to, fill in gaps. You were leaving a gap.
Okay.
She was.
But anyway, so it was shortly after the whole email, it was a month, exactly, I can remember it. So somewhere in that month, you must have done all of that, because it was almost exactly a month afterwards that I was like, maybe I had told Jeremy no too soon. Like, we could have dated or something. And like, I never even thought of him in that way. And maybe, I don't know, it was just the changes in the appearance. And, no, I don't want you to ever bleach your hair. Like, you're fine where it is. But
yeah,
I think
that was November when I had bleached my hair.
Just the changes kind of was like, oh, you made me look at you a little bit differently. And so from then on, at some point, I kind of was like, man, I probably blew my chance with him. But if this is, because as time went on, I kind of thought, well, Jeremy's kind of a nice guy. Like, it wouldn't be too bad to date. Like, maybe. But I thought, he'll never, ever ask me out again. But if it is God's will, he will ask me out again. Like, usually get one shot and that's it. But I thought, if this is supposed to be, it will be.
Yeah. And we started spending a heck of a lot of time together.
We did.
About this time. We were constantly always, and mm-hmm. we'd go to being around with our friends. And this is where, people started to ask questions every once in a while. Well, no, I guess the questions really started later. I remember where things kind of shifted
probably
a little bit.
Probably spring when it really...
Well, but there was something, some sort of thing up in Kearney that we had went to.
It was Jamie's wedding.
Was it? Well, yeah, because was it the reception?
It was at the reception.
You flat out asked me. It's like, you're constantly going and you're always talking and everything. Do you ever think what would happen or what you'd think about or something if you were just quiet for a minute?
Yep.
And I stopped.
Because by that point, I knew you still liked me.
You know, that was around the point I kind of realized, yeah, I just kind of like her.
I knew that somewhere in there you still like me, even though I gave you the friend speech. And So in part, I was, honestly, I don't mess with people like that, but that was like one of the few times that I thought I did on purpose, like kind of, but it was also not that way too, because everything was so fast. And I thought, well, what would happen if you actually just stopped and just listened?
Yeah. So the perfect song I'll go with that is I Won't Say I'm in Love from Hercules.
If there's a price for rotten judgment, I guess I've already won that. No man is worth the aggravation. That's ancient history, been there, done that.
Who do you think you're kidding? He's the earth and heaven to you. Try to keep it hidden. Honey, we can see right through you. Unless you're dying to cry your heart out.
Okay, now I know the big transition, I think, for me came around Valentine's Day, which is why this is a good time for this story. I was working at a KB toy store. For those of you who remember KB Toys, I think that company's completely out of business now, unless it's an online store somewhere.
It might have just been a local chain anyway.
I don't know. I thought other places had them. But I was working at a toy store, and it came to Valentine's Day, and I was working, and it was me and the game manager, both of us being completely single, like, yep, and here we are working in this Valentine's Day, and we've got nobody. And as I'm sitting there and he's working in the back office because he's a manager and I'm there working the counter, I was like, golly, you know who I really want to be with right now is Heather. This is where I want to spend my day. And I realized, oh, wow. Okay. So this is Love from Cinderella.
So this is love. So this is love. So this is what makes life divine. I'm all aglow, and now I know.
And now I know
the key to all heaven is mine. My heart has wings, and I can fly. I'll touch every star in the sky. So this is the miracle that I've been dreaming of.
It was a good time to play that song, right?
I guess so.
Sure.
But that's when I realized, uh-oh, I'm in trouble because she wants to just remain friends, and we're really good friends, and so I better just keep my mouth shut.
Well, and see, it was about that time that you got me this little plastic frog that was from the toy store. And, like, you gave that to me at the BSU meeting, and, like...
Because you were into collecting frogs. Well, yeah. Mainly because everybody gave you frogs, but you like frogs.
Well, no, I like frogs, and so, you gave that...
we're going to get a bunch of frogs sent to us.
Well, anyway, but you gave me the frog, and kind of in front of everybody, and that's probably when all the questions start. So, what's the thing with you and Jeremy? I don't know, we're just friends. Yeah. What's with you and Heather? I don't know, we're just friends.
Well, of course you're going to say, I don't know, because no one's going to fess up anything, because you don't want to wreck the friendship.
No.
So
that
you
was,
don't yeah. answer the question. People are going to ask you, but because it becomes kind of obvious to people when they see you together. Although it wasn't obvious to me, I thought, okay, well, this is probably not mutual, but that's okay. You know, I can deal with this. You know, but I was thinking I should probably try it again or something, because this is around the point now. By the end of that school year, I started working. And this was, oh, by the way. We have to tell this part of the story because it's a Star Wars story.
Oh, yes.
We waited in line for the Phantom Menace together. And I was – because now this is the fun part is, okay, there was at one point that we had went to go see like DC Talk at this concert in a kind of coffee house. They were doing like a small show.
It was a bar.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah, it was a bar, but they had a lot of different bands and stuff mm-hmm. in there. There were Christian bands even and stuff. And but normally DC Talk used to do big arena shows, you know, big concerts, and they were doing like this small show at this little place. And so we had went, and in between, you know, sets between DC
this
Talk.
This was before
and
Jamie's
stuff.
Wedding.
Yeah, this was before Jamie's wedding. But it had been revealed at that time that you had been a Star Wars fan, and my friend Ken was with me, and Ken like glom. Oh, look, a girl who likes Star Wars.
Because you and Jamie were talking a lot.
Because Jamie talks a lot, and so I talk a lot, so we'll just talk. So, yeah. So he thought I was ignoring you or whatever. But that was long before. But that's how I knew at least you were a Star Wars fan. You liked Indiana Jones. Actually, she likes Indiana Jones better. So she has said that before, mm-hmm. But that's okay. So we were going to to wait in line to get tickets to go see Star Wars, and we were going to go see Star Wars together. And in an almost weird way, because things are changing at this point, you know what? I'm going to play another song. I'm going to play Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Just because it almost doesn't fit.
Doesn't fit.
I can see what's happening.
What?
And they don't have a clue.
Who?
They'll fall in love, and here's the bottom line. Our trio's down to two.
Oh.
The sweet caress of twilight. There's magic everywhere. And with all this romantic atmosphere, disaster's in the air.
Can you feel the love tonight? The peace the evening brings. The world for once in perfect harmony with all its living things.
So many things to tell her, but how to make her see the truth about my past? Impossible. She'd turn away from me.
He's holding back, he's hiding, but what I can't decide. Why won't he be the king I know he is, the king I see inside?
Can you feel the love?
Falls in love tonight. It can be assumed his carefree days with us are history. In short, our pal is doomed.
Okay, so we went to Star Wars together, and then right after that, I think we went to Taco Bell, but we were both working at Kansas City Life, a job you'd helped me get because you worked there seasonally.
And I was leaving to go to St. Joe.
Yeah, Kansas City Life is an insurance. Yes, you were going to go to St. Joe
to go
to college.
Finish up my four-year,
bachelor's degree.
Yep.
So this was it. This was, she's going to be gone, and I was afraid I might not ever see her again. So I had this, I wrote up everything I wanted to say, and I had it in a note and put it in my pocket, but I was like, because I have to work up the guts to talk to her, because we rode together to work. Because my car, I'd busted up a car pretty bad. I had a hole punctured in the radiator hose line or whatever, but different side story. So we were riding together to work, and I was like, okay, here in the car, or some point today, I have to say something. At lunch or sometime, I have to say something. And I chickened out, so when I was going to get out of the car, when she drove me back home, I was like, here, I should have said something today, but I knew I probably wouldn't.
No, you left a note on my desk at some point. You left a note on my desk.
Oh, maybe because I had meant to say something
You left a note on my desk during break.
Oh, yeah.
At our first break before lunch, and so I had read it and things like that, and so then on the way home, it was kind of an awkward drive a little bit because, like, I don't know. I just remember it being kind of because
I was waiting for you to be able to say something.
Saying
in your court.
Things, you know, and it was finally when, you know, I pulled up in front of your house that, you know, decisions were made. I guess I would put it that way.
That we were going to have an official date.
Official date, yes.
On that Saturday, I think.
Because
that was like a Friday, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, it would have to have been a Saturday because we went over to your house and we watched that movie.
Watched
and
the
it was in the afternoon.
Yeah, after the afternoon, I'd come up to Kearney and stuff. I think.
No, we were at your house.
Yeah, but
that
I know
whole
we
time,
were at the house
that first date the whole time.
So it was sort of a first date, and it sort of has that nice time to play Bella Notte from Lady and the Tramp.
Okay.
Oh, this is the night. It's a beautiful night, and we call it Bella Notte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes, on this lovely Bella Notte. Side by side with your loved one, you'll find an enchantment here. The night will weave its magic spell when the one you love is near. For this is the night when the heavens are right on this love.
This lovely bell.
So, you know, the funny thing is in a previous relationship that I thought had actually worked, I had taken things very slow, and I'd went, you know, a couple months before I'd even kissed her, because, you know, my first girl I dated, it was a rush, and it was purely physical, and I did not want to have a repeat of that. So I was determined, okay, well, I'm going to take my time here and take it slow. Didn't work out so well that way.
We kissed on the first date.
Oh, yes, and plenty of it.
But we had about 2 years worth of friendship, you know, just pure friendship the first year. The second, well, school year anyway. And the second one, most of it liking each other, but not saying anything to each other, you know, and we had had goodbye hugs and, you know, and things like that, but not like, you know, no kisses or anything like that. So it was just smooch. First kiss.
It was like that release. Like, here we can go. Yay. Yep. So it was definitely love from Robin Hood.
Love, it seems like only yesterday you were just a child at play. Now you're all grown up inside of me. Oh, how fast those moments flee. Once we watched a lazy world go by, now the days seem to fly. Life is brief, but when it's gone, love goes on and on. Days seem to fly. Life is brief, but when it's gone, love goes on and on.
She's giving me love. See, what you're hearing is you're hearing these songs in between. For us, as recording, it's just I'm pausing so I can edit the song later. And she just gives me these cute little looks and shaking her head like, finding any way to play more songs. But so that was the beginning. And, of course, you know, your first 2 years is everything is perfect about them. Oh, yes, they're wonderful. You know, you and...
Well, okay.
Reality hasn't set in for a couple of years.
One thing has stayed the same. It's going to sound really cheesy, but... That first kiss was like perfect.
And I'm really good at that.
Every kiss since then has been perfect. So that has not changed.
Yay!
For me, you are my perfect kisser.
Yay! So it took so long, and then finally, at last, we saw the light from Tangled.
All those days. Watching from the windows, all those years outside looking in, all that time never even knowing just how blind I've been. Now I'm here blinking in the starlight. Now I'm here suddenly.
It's a chasing down a daydream. All those years living in a blur. All that time never truly seeing things the way they were. Now she's here, shining in the starlight. Now she's here, suddenly I know. If she's here, it's crystal clear. I'm where I'm meant to go. Lifted, and at last I see the light,
and it's like the sky is new,
and it's warm and real and bright, and the world has somehow shifted. All at once, everything is different now.
And you do have that those moments though within those first 2 years. I'm gonna rapid fire some songs here, baby.
I can tell that.
Because you know, you do have that Cloud Nine, and I still have never seen this movie, The Happiest Millionaire, but I love this song from it. Are We Dancing?
Are we dancing? Are we really here? Is this feeling something real? Disappear. Are we dancing? Does the music soar? Was this lovely song I hear ever heard before? Are your eyes confessing things I alone can see? Or is my imagination flying away with me? Are we dancing? Say we really are. Then I'll know that I reached into the sky. Reached into the sky and touched a star.
Is this feeling something real, or will it disappear? Was this lovely song I hear ever heard before? Are your eyes confessing things I alone can see? Or is my imagination flying away?
which, you know what? Was it our 1 year anniversary or 2 year? I remember I had made a dinner for you because nobody was going to be home at the house. I was still living with my parents, but remember I made
it. It was probably the first.
Made a little dinner, yeah. Had us a little table there in the living room, and we had a little slow dance because we never got to go to any high school dances together or anything. See, I've got a plan with these songs. You'd almost think I'd plan it. But, okay, so.
Okay, dear.
So, you know, you have to, and I've heard a lot, you know, experts would say, you know, you always have at least the first 2 years where you can barely see the flaws in the person. Everything's just perfect. But then, you know, a reality sets in and love becomes less about this emotional rush and more about,
you know, being real
and the person and an action. Mm-hmm. And we had a little bump there in the process of it.
It was the second year
that we were
dating. Mm-hmm.
But I had went away to work as a camp counselor up in Chicago, and come back, and we'd had time to kind of think, like, well, maybe this has kind of run its course, and so we decided, well, let's go back to being friends.
It didn't even last 24 hours.
It didn't last 24 hours.
And if seriously, if you ever want to break up with someone and be really serious about it, do not plan to hang out together the next night. Because
I'm glad we did, though, because that day was completely miserable. And I thought, okay, we have all our friends who know this thing, and there's been people who were like waiting for us to get together or something. And so I sent out this mass email and says, okay, you know, this is an amicable thing. We're just splitting up. We just kind of think, you know, we're better with friends or something. I was miserable that day, and I was more miserable when we were going to go to see Five Iron Frenzy with James, and because we weren't together, and
Yep. I just remember crying a lot. Like, I just was not, I just was not ready for, like, to be broken up and then put back together again with you after 24 hours and.
Yeah, it was just a complete miserable without you. That to me is when I learned what love really is. Love is a song from Bambi.
Love is a song that never ends. Life may be swift.
See the look she's given me with all these ways I'm trying to put a song.
Your transitions are just crazy.
But okay. Yeah, it was at that point when we had gotten back together, and after that miserable day that I was like, okay, eventually I'm definitely marrying this girl. It's like, this is it. This is what love is really supposed to be like. Where you just have to have that person around, and you want to do things for them, you want to have them around. You don't always have to be on an emotional high, because sometimes you're going to get mad at each other, you know, and stuff like that. You're going to have a roundabout of things. You're going to drive each other nuts every once in a while. But you always have to have that person there, and if you're away from them too long, you do kind of like, I'm bored, I'm lonely, I wish you were home, you know, that kind of thing.
And it's a choice. You can be upset, but you still choose to love that person, you know, and let things go that make you upset, you know, and stuff. Because what was it, the saying, like, marriage just means you get to annoy the same person for the rest of their life or something like that. And
but you wouldn't have it any other way.
Exactly.
So, and that's how it works. So, now it gets fun, though.
But the next two years is basically us waiting for me to graduate so that I have, you know, my bachelor's degree and I can get my teaching job. And Jeremy got his associates, I think, during that time.
I got the associates after we were married.
After we were married.
I went back to school because I had never finished over at Maplewoods. I was mostly hanging out and I'd gotten like half the credits I needed. But I remember, just to throw in story, because while you being away at school was kind of complicated, because I remember there's one time that you and your roommate had like a creepy guy in the building.
Yeah, that was the first summer.
I was getting freaked out. I was about to drive to St. Joseph to find this guy because I was like, you know, creepy, you better stay away from her. You know.
Well, we did live just right down the road from the asylum. I mean, it's not where he was from, but, you know, it's kind of
crazy people in the area.
Apropos that there was a, you know, penitentiary type asylum that was down the road from us.
And thankfully he wasn't from there. No. But I do recall that. But I think for, you know, the next continuation of the story that was, I think, was the big deal was you had already picked out your engagement ring at some point before.
Well, it wasn't intentional at all.
But you had found a ring that
our friend Jamie, that she had been married by this point. And so when she, you know, let's just go to the mall and look at jewelry. And of course, her husband would get her, you know, get her jewelry. And so I just thought, oh, okay, jewelry. Like, I've never been really much for jewelry. I'm just not that kind of girl. But anyway, as we were there, I was like, oh, well, this ring is really nice. Like, if I ever was to have an engagement ring, this would be it. But I'm not, you know, I'm not that picky. I, whatever, you know, because this was quite a ways out from the actual engagement.
Yeah. But you had shown it to me at some point. That's how I knew.
That was when we were having a discussion about rings.
Yeah. But I remember you had shown it to me.
But it was.
And so I saved up and I got it.
Yes, so I got the ring that I had seen, even though it was probably like a year earlier, and I think an official engagement wasn't really like in the works yet.
But I was pretty determined. So, but it came close. You were going to graduate, so I'd got it. And now, okay, so
got to tell the engagement story.
Yes, I got to tell the engagement story. I wanted to do something clever, and she was working,
of course,
at Watkins Mill, and I didn't do the biggest thing in the world. I mean, some people go through these big, elaborate things. I just, you know, she was working at Watkins Mill. She was doing programs. Watkins Mill is a state park here in Missouri, and she was doing programs for the campers, like nature programs. And I would go and, you know, to see her program and everything on Saturday evenings and everything. Well, I showed up. I had the ring in my pocket, and she does.
Well, you have to back up, and you called and told me that you would not be able to get the ring out because you didn't have quite enough money for the last payment. But unbeknownst to me, that you actually did.
Yeah, I had it.
It was so in that my you got to back that up before.
Okay,
you...
I forgot about that
part. Yes.
So you're doing your program, and you asked for questions.
Yep. Always at the end, I said, "Does anybody have any questions?" And he stands up and said, "You want to marry me?" And at this point, I have, like, I think there was only maybe, like, 8 or 12 people at the program that particular night for whatever reason. They don't know anything. They have no idea who this crazy person is because they look on their faces. They turn around to look at him because he sat in the back, was like, what? And, of course, I'm looking all goofy. Oh, this is my boyfriend.
And, trying to explain
you
it.
Know, and now my fiance. I don't know if I really said yes. I just kind of was like, yep, this is it.
Well, I know. I think you did say yes.
Well, I think so.
Because you have to answer the question. But I had phrases like, so how would you like to marry me? And I held the ring up. It's like,
ta-da! It was very casual. It wasn't like this big formal, Heather, will you marry me? It was just kind of like, you want to marry me? Very casual, because that's Jeremy. That's just
the way I am.
So anyway, at the end of every month, and this was around my birthday, by the way, at the end of every month, like they do, you have to do a report. And so our engagement got in the report for the state park system that was sent to Jefferson City that, you know, these people got engaged. at this presentation. So yeah.
And it was fun. We were attending the same church in Parkville at the time, New Covenant. And there's people who had known we were together and everything, and
they were expecting it. They were waiting
a long time. They had been waiting for it.
I mean, 4 years. We dated 4 days shy of 4 years before we got married.
So basically, and I can't remember if I talked to George or somebody that said, "Oh, we have an announcement we want to make when you're done. Just let us know so we can come up." And so, it came time to come up and just announce the church, because we were going to have the wedding at the church, and we just want to invite everybody there anyway. Mm-hmm. We just kind of went up, and I just remember I put an arm around, just stood there in the pulpit, and just smiled. And we just stood there for a little bit, and I says, "By now, most of you have figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
We have set the date. It was May 24th, 2003. We had set the date and everything, and by that time, 2 days before I turned 26, because I did want to hopefully get married before I would turn 26. I figured mid-20s was a good time.
And two weeks before that, I graduated college. Yeah,
graduated college, and so we were ready to begin a new life. Now, okay, before we do tell about how funny the wedding kind of turned out to be, I want to play Candle on the Water from Pete's Dragon, because it's a good one.
It's a good one.
I don't have a good transition for it. I just like it.
I'll be your candle on the water, my love for you will always burn. I know you're lost and drifting, but the clouds are lifting. Don't give up, you have somewhere to turn. I'll be your candle on the water, till every wave is warm and bright. My soul is there beside you. Let this candle guide you. Soon you'll see a golden stream of light. A cold and friendless tide has found you. Don't let the stormy darkness pull you down. I'll paint a ray of hope around you, circling in the air, lighted by a reaching out to show.
Okay, so we had planned to do an outdoor wedding, because you're an outdoor kind of girl.
I really wanted an outdoor wedding.
And we went fairy tale, literally. We wanted, fairy tale wedding.
Yeah, we kind of both liked the fairy tale, but not so over the top. You know, like we kind of wanted it just enough that you got the idea, but not so much that it was like...
Not overbearing, but we had to find like a Renaissance type vest for me.
Mm-hmm.
We had Ruth made us shirts that were, had the, you know, they were called poets or whatever. They had the kind of poof sleeves for the men, and you were...
Not like puffy shirts or anything
like super puffy, but they were, we looked like characters out of Lord of the Rings kind of...
Mm-hmm.
And that, conveniently, that movie had just come out, and I had the soundtrack, and we used some of the music. In
yeah,
the
we had went to Lord of the Rings,
Fellowship of the Rings, specifically.
Fellowship of the Rings. Well, specifically, during our dating years, and so we really liked the movie, and we got the books, and we liked the books, and so we thought that would be appropriate. We also had seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and so that was also made there our way.
Yeah, into we used that song for our candlelight bit there. We had planned like the evening when we did the rehearsal. We had a little bit of birthday celebration in there where my mom actually got a cake with a printed of an old picture of me at 2 or 3 years old wearing
his
this little
favorite Sarah, picture.
And so mom had that printed on a cake, so we had a little birthday thing for me, although it was still coming up, but you know. But we did the rehearsal completely outdoors. We had timed and coordinated, had the music all picked out, and it was going to time almost like perfect on the outdoors. And then that following morning, it rains.
It rained that evening, and it was still really wet. And overcast really the rest of the day. I don't think.
Well, the sun came out when we came out to leave on the car.
Not for very long because it was very gray.
By the time we got to Omaha, I think it was nice. But the wedding, you know, it actually timed out a little easier being indoors with the music for everybody to get down because we had like the groomsmen and everybody. We came out to the concerning hobbits. Mm-hmm. And then had. The Council of the Elrond was your entrance music, and where it picks up at the end, where the main theme was about the same time that you came down. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in the back, and I was just all, you know, I was excited, and you know, I wasn't nervous, I was just super excited and everything. And when you finally had come down, I was just beside myself, like, there she comes.
And I got to mess with him again because the only person who had to lace up his shirt, his vest, was me. But you're not supposed to see each other.
Yeah, so I had to keep my back to her, but she could come out and lace this thing up for me.
I tried to like, oh, I'm coming. Like, you're going to see me, or I'm going to see you.
Meanwhile, my best friend Philip, who was, you know, known as Lost Boy Philip, he was ordained and he was going to be our official, and he was having fun. Because you had noted when we were practicing the vows that you had the vow to obey, and I didn't. And so Philip had fun drawing pictures of us saying, obey.
I just thought the vows should be equal. It's a partnership here, you know?
I just thought it was hilarious. He even wrote it on the car when they were decorating my car. He wrote, obey! So that became the word of the day. Obey! So, and then, of course, post-wedding... the funny part was we were using Star Wars music also for the finale.
Yes.
And we wanted the celebration from the special edition of Return of the Jedi there at the end. Because this is a nice bit.
But did not want the Star Wars main theme at the end.
Right, where the credits roll, because it's all on one track.
And we were both so afraid that they would not hit the stop button
in time
as we were leaving.
Actually,
and
it was the forward button, skip to the next track, because we had music to play for the reception.
Well, anyway, but we were both, like, we walked down the aisle and got in the back, and I think we both were holding our breath, like, please
don't
let it.
Yeah, we heard
when
we kind of looked at each other, kind of grabbed hands as we were at the receiving line or whatever, people were greeting us, and we were like, wait. And then we heard a transition, like, oh, okay.
Good, no, Star Wars music, because we managed to get through. I don't know.
We figured no one would recognize the Lord of the Rings or the Star Wars music until if the main theme, though, jumped up, they would,
the gig would have been up. You know, they would have known.
The jig's up, they'd have been like, they had Star Wars music? What in the world is with these two? Yeah. But you know what? It'd have been okay, because, you know, they realized, well, they're dorks, you know?
Your family would have been like, oh, yeah, it's just Jeremy. Mine probably would have been like, well,
your parents
is,
probably wouldn't even know what it was.
They would have.
They would have?
They would have. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, and then we got pranked by my own mother, who I thought was putting my luggage in the car. And so she asked for my car keys. And so they got into the car, and they put, balloons and all kinds of stuff.
We had newspaper in there. We got a giant flamingo that was tied to the rearview mirror. Yeah, inflatable flamingo.
And my favorite part of our wedding video is me trying to figure out how to get it off of there. How are we supposed to... Oh, that's going to be bad.
Like, it's just incoherency, like, of him, like...
Because I couldn't figure out how to get the flamingo off there, and I wasn't going to be able to see the drive with the thing.
Oh, and they put potpourri in our luggage. They put potpourri, like, all over the car. Like, our luggage
still smells
like potpourri because we did throwing.
Our old car anyway.
Potpourri. Yeah. Well, the luggage still smells like potpourri.
Really?
Yes, the luggage still smells like potpourri. Yes.
Wow. So you know what? But she's always been the Minnie to my Mickey.
I'm the guy they call Little Mickey Mouse. Got a sweetie down in the chicken house. the fat nor skinny. She's the horse's Winnie is my little Minnie Mouse. When it's feeding time for the animals and they howl and growl like the cannibals, I just turn my heel to the hen house steel and you'll hear me sing this song. Oh, the old tomcat with his meow meow, old hound dog with his bow wow wow, the crow and the mule. Gosh, what a ragged like an all of us all. I have listened to the cuckoo coo his cuckoo, and I've heard the rooster's cock a doodle doo. With the cows and the chickens, they all sound like the dickens when I hear my little Minnie. Skinny, she's the horse's Winnie is my little Minnie Mouse. When it's feeding time for the animals and they howl and growl like the cannibals, I just turn my heel to the hen house steel and you'll hear me sing this song. Oh, the old tomcat with his meow meow, old hound dog with his bow wow wow, the crow and the mule. Gosh, what a ragged like an all of us all. I have listened to the cuckoo coo his cuckoo, and I've heard the rooster's cock a doodle doo. With the cows and the chickens, they all sound like the dickens when I hear my little Minnie.
Every song I managed and wanted to play for this podcast.
With every cheesy transition in between.
Every cheesy transition, I got it all in there. And the only
You're
thing
lucky left, I like cheese.
You have to like cheese because on the outside, we do seem very, very different because I, you know, especially, you know, with me, I've gotten to go to Disney Park and she hasn't. And that made me even more of a Disney fan than I was. And now I just drive her crazy. Like I drove her crazy when the first Spider-Man movie came out because I was trying to explain Spider-Man to her forever and...
Now I know more about Spider-Man than I would ever want to know.
Yeah. But she gets me back by trying to explain Inuyasha and all kind of other stuff.
Animals.
Yeah. We're a lot the same on the inside, but it's just on the outside we seem very, very different.
The interest may be different, but yeah. Like us as people, and I think that's the whole reason why we were attracted to each other, at least for me, was that, you know, as a person they have different interests, but we're just the same.
Yeah. In a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But I've got at least one good piece of feedback from when I asked for other people's stories. I know I've got one, and I'm going to share it.
Hey, you guys!
Neverland Feedback.
Okay, so our feedback for the week is a really nice email that I got from Shannon Martin. Her email is smartin@podbean.com. I bet if you had questions about Podbean, you can ask her. Mm-hmm. But her message is simply this. Hi, saw your post in the podcasting group. I work at Podbean. My husband and I met about 19 years ago on a flight from Atlanta to Baltimore. Interestingly, we grew up about 30 minutes apart, but met in the air. It was fairly indicative of what our lives together would be like, as we've since lived in several states and countries and have traveled all over the world together. When in the U.S., we went to almost every MLB stadium, and now we're busy exploring Asia. Little did we know that that first flight would lead to many years of airplane rides together.
Aww.
And I think it's a good story. And hopefully y'all liked this. You know, let us know what you thought. You know, you can still share your stories with us because I'll gladly still share it.
Of course.
And I think ours would make a lovely Disney movie. And our marriage was kind of like a romantic sitcom.
Yeah, it was a comedy, I think.
We did hit, you know, where you eventually, you know, because you're stuck together, you kind of get a little tired of each other. We did have that brief moment of getting in each other's way and driving each other crazy for a while. But, for the most part, when we get upset, she gets quiet somewhere to cry and everything, but we don't really fight over anything. So we do pretty good. We drive each other occasionally bonkers. Mainly, I think I drive her bonkers. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's nodding. Yeah. Nodding doesn't work on a podcast, sweetie.
Oh, it doesn't?
No. Mm. But that's going to be all for our Valentine's special. We hope you enjoyed this, had fun hearing some music, and hearing kind of what I think is a cute story, as Raleigh Crump would say. It's kind of a cute story.
Kind of a cute story.
So we'll see you next week. Oh, and before I get into it, next week, Dale Wetland will be here from the D-Cast. I've mentioned him before. We had a wonderful time. Actually, I've already talked and recorded next week's episode. So I know you're going to enjoy it because we had a lot of fun talking. So make sure you're here next week to hear my conversation with Dale Wetland. And we're going to dive into some Marvel and DC movies and television. Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page,
a link to visit our shop,
and much more.
And please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
Or email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
If you email us a Lost Boy
or Pixie
nickname with a reason why you chose that name, you can become an official Neverlander.
Girls are too clever to get lost, so we are naturally magical pixies.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support in keeping the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Man Productions.
God bless.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.